with Jean Mann, August 8, 1986, by Misty Charterville.
There it goes.
All right. Okay, first of all, just you can tell me whatever you know about the history of the Stanford family.
Well, our family has lived on this place for about six generations. We go back a long way. Probably the most interesting person that did not actually live here, but he owned the land, was Richard Stanford, who was a congressman from this district for many years. Actually, my grandfather is the one who built the home place and has lived on the Stanford land.
Who is Richard?
He would have been great, probably.
A state congressman?
No, he was in Washington. And I understand there have only been two who have served from this area. It was Carl Durham and Richard Stanford. And let's see, he served, he died in 1816. I think that is probably one of the most interesting things is from a history standpoint.
Okay, so and then your grandfather was the one who built the home place.
That's right, and my father actually. Well, my grandfather did some small farming, but actually my father is the one who began the farm operation.
Oh,
okay. Like in the early 1900s.
So, do you remember?
Well, my grandfather died before I was born. Grandmother, I was only about five when she died, so I don't really remember him.
So, and he just had a small farm? Your grandfather did?
Yeah, well, I guess the land, he owned all the land.
Uh-huh. And so, your father then decided to start dairying? When was that?
Back in there, 1913, 1914, somewhere in that area. It started as a cream operation. They would sell the cream, and then it went from the dairy to he sold eggs to Watts Hospital, which was in Durham, when they were just beginning. You know, when I was a very young child, he had one of his brothers was doctor over there. The interesting thing about this family, I think, is that being in the country, most of them were educated. Daddy had a degree from State College in agriculture. In fact, his roommate was Governor Carr Scott. Is that interesting? And mother was a teacher. The aunts on my father's side were teachers. One attended Peace College and taught at a small little school called Mitchell Hill, which was a one-room school that many of the people in this area remember going to. It actually was across Cane Creek. And then there were other two sisters taught at White Cross, which is a community school, for probably 30 years or so. Everybody remembers Aunt Margaret. And then there was another aunt who taught in Burlington. So, you know, the family was able to educate.
Where do you think, where did the money come from for the education?
Probably the hard way. I'm just not real sure. Just the hard way,
oh,
from working. I can't know exactly where the money, but they were able to educate. It was a big family. Then on my mother's side, she lived in this area. She was a McKeever. And her home is where the Bingham Inn is. And they were, a lot of them were teachers. So I think that's interesting that generation was as educated, being from a farm community. Daddy had one brother, and he went to school at Chapel Hill and did his internship in Pennsylvania, and then came back to Watts Hospital and was chief of staff, and many, many of the people from this community went to him as their doctor, even though he was a dog. His wife also was a doctor.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, what was your first home place was what you call a home place now? Mm-hmm. You grew up on that.
That's right.
What do you remember about that?
Well, there I had a twin sister who was, we were the youngest. I had three older brothers. Daddy often told the story, he had three and then suddenly he had five. And this was during the Depression.
Oh, my goodness.
But I had three older brothers.
Okay.
Yes, we helped with the farm. I can remember as a young girl, Daddy had this egg operation. We would help with that. You know, we helped gather them and then pack them and get them ready to go. We helped. At one stage, we were responsible for some of the young cows. He, at this time, had started into the dairy operation. We were responsible for those, and I can remember having the job of what we call pulling hay up into the barn. Get at the end of the barn with a tractor and the rope was hooked to you and you back up and then pull forward and back up and pull forward. You know, very exciting. But that was one of the chores. Yeah. And occasionally we would drive the trucks in the field to when the men would load, you know, the hay. Those are the things I can remember as far as, you know, helping with animals and this sort of thing.
Was it all of the children or you and your sister?
Boys did more of the heavy work, but it was a family operation.
Mm-hmm. Did you and your sister do more work in the house, or did you
probably be, you know, we were, you know, in the school and in the college, but they would have they did a lot of cooking for the hired hands. You know, that was a big ordeal, that midday lunch. Occasionally they would have, when we were young, they would have these people who went from farm to farm, what they call threshing wheat, and they'd bring in their equipment and use it. And you would have these, you know, all these people to feed. And I can remember the big, big lunches. And not only would mother help, but there would be, you know, usually hired help. And there was also, I had a couple of aunts who lived there. My daddy and mother, and then the five of us, and there were two of daddy's sisters who lived there for part of this time. Uh-huh. Then they built this house, actually, that I'm in, back in the 50s.
Married or unmarried?
One was unmarried, one was, had been married and divorced. She came back, actually, to take care of her mother. More or less, I guess, probably broke up that marriage. She lived in Raleigh.
Well, how much hard help? You must have had a pretty big farm to have.
Well, actually, Daddy had close to 900 acres. And then he farmed Mother's farm, which she owned along with the milking of the cows by hand to the big, the sophisticated equipment that they had with the, you know, the.
Okay, so you remember milking the cows by hand?
I never was good at doing that. I never really milked.
Uh-huh.
I always was a little bit afraid of the cows.
Uh-huh.
But we, you know, we would, if they would get out or something, you know, we would, everybody would get busy and do their part.
Mm-hmm.
We also had horses at that time, which, well, I can remember having 10, 13 or so, or 14, you know. And they finally dwindled away. Because, see, at that point, when we, in our early childhood, things, there weren't that many tractors. There wasn't that sort of thing. There were wagons, and the horses pulled them. When they cut the corn, they cut it and brought it in on wagons with horses pulling it. So, you know, that was, that the horses phased out.
When do you remember that? How
it would have been before high school. Let's see. I graduated from high school in 1950. So it would have been prior to that.
Uh-huh.
In the 40s.
Uh-huh. That you started getting tractors.
Mm-hmm.
And trucks? You talking about trucks?
Well, then that came in. We had cars, but not, Dad would have a car, probably a pickup or this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually got to the point where, it's, you know, where my brother now is farming, you know, they've had the enormous tractors, everything is enormous.
Yeah.
You know, the big combines. But that was a growing process.
Uh-huh. Well, did you have more hired hands before you had the machinery?
I think probably so, yes.
I'm trying to picture your mom and cooking for all these.
Mom was a very interesting person. She became was very active. Both Daddy and Mother were very active in the community. Mother was active in the DAR. All the Daughters of the Colonial Dames, you know, that sort of thing. You know, that was kind of the thing that she was really interested in. She was interested in politics. She served the chairman of the Democratic Party, this sort of thing. One of the interesting things she did was that she was the state woman campaign manager for Carr Scott. Coordinated all the women around the state. And that was a big
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
She served on the Board of Trustees at Chapel Hill for about 15 years. She was on the committee that searched for Gordon Gray when he was, when they needed a president. She also was on committee that began the steering committee that began Memorial Hospital, which I consider interesting. So she was a very active
mm-hmm.
in her own right.
Well, and at the same time, what sort of work was she doing on the farm?
Well, generally, you know, just anything that needed to be done, a lot of the cooking. Then she would get out, you know, and do things that needed to be done. She would milk, you know, this sort of thing. Most of that time, men supposedly did that job, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I can remember, you know, her doing that. And she was guard. She did. We always had a very big garden. That was one of the things the women did. Was we did the canning, we did the freezing. They would always have pigs that would do the hams and do the cooking of. I can remember as a young child, they canned the sausage, of course. Then we came into the freezer locker things and all, you know, the big thing, the more modern ideas. But she always had flower gardens. These were the things, you know, she was interested in. She was a very active person, into a lot of things. Worked with the county council, of course, the PTAs, and all this thing. Now, Daddy was... on the beginning of the Long Meadow Dairy, the beginning of FCX, he was interested in worked on, he was on the Orange County School Board for 25 or 30 years and served as chairman. Oh, 1 year, several years, probably 10, 12 years, you know, just once he got on, it seemed he stayed on. But they were both very active in their community.
And at the same time, you had a very large farm. Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to your mom, this one question, and your father, I guess, do y'all have crops?
Hay, corn, wheat.
Well, did your mom ever help with those? Like if she needed, you said she did whatever she needed to do.
I can't ever remember her getting out, you know, and being on a tractor or something, baling hay, this sort of thing. I remember the old way that they got the hay was that they would just put it on a wagon and then they'd have this big lift that forked into it and it took a big thing up and went into the barn. And then they came with the little square bales, you know, mm-hmm. that they eventually bought in with them. But, you know, whatever she needed to do, Mom was there, you know. Of course, she had five children.
Did she run the house?
More or less, with the help of the sisters. They did a lot of the cooking, too.
And
But it was kind of understood that if these people worked there, and then you fed them. We would have, there was a black family who lived on the farm, and there was, there must have been four or five of those, six of them maybe. So the girls would help Dan, the men would help him in the fields.
They
lived here, lived on the farm.
And
they just lived there. You know, I don't know whether they were leftovers from the slave movement.
So, your mom had some help in the house, mm-hmm. and your father had help in the fields.
In the meantime, I had three brothers who were growing up. They were, of course, in school and going to Carolina to state and this sort of thing. So, you know, educating them through college.
Yeah.
Dad had a cerebral hemorrhage back in the before the 50s. And he was out of work for about probably 4 or 5 months. And the boys filled him in to keep things going.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to get back. He never was quite as strong. And of course, I'm sure mother helped. I can't specifically say what she did, but you know, during that illness, things had to go on because when you have cows, they have to be milked 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You know, that they can't wait. You know, they have to be taken care of.
Did your older brothers, what part did they play on the farm?
They all helped. Some of them were in school during times. And I guess they probably worked on weekends and everything. They went to Carolina, one went to Princeton, one went to, they started out at State and finished up at Carolina. So then they came. The two boys in the middle did come back to the farm to run the farm when Daddy's, you know, Daddy got older.
Uh-huh.
They became partners with Daddy. The oldest one, no, he went to Princeton and was interested in the arts, and he was the director of the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh for many years. So that was, you know, he actually didn't like the farm as well as the other boys.
Was there any problem with, did anyone ever
probably, yes, but you know, it just worked out that way. Mm-hmm. People have to take what's, you know, their own interest in how things work out.
So, you don't remember any family arguments?
Probably two was enough. Two they began really working very hard with Daddy for several years. Then the middle brother had cancer and died, so it left the farm run by the younger brother. And so his wife and Bill had run the farm and had had a dairy operation until probably a year or two ago when the Cane Creek thing bought the land and bought the barn. So he was really actually forced to sell the cows. Now he does have probably 50 head of small cows on the farm, and he actually farms the rest of the land in crops, mm-hmm. soybeans, mm-hmm. wheat, corn, hay, this sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have any interest in a farm? Did you ever think of that you might do?
Not really. I wanted to come back and live at the farm, which we had done
uh-huh.
After living in Chapel Hill for 11, 12 years. We've been out here 15 years, and it's a part of me. Mm-hmm. You know, the land. Just the feel of being here is just real important to my peace of mind.
Do you enjoy farming?
Uh-huh. The wide open spaces is nothing like it.
And this takes me back a little bit more about your growing up on the farm and the things that you remember that you especially enjoyed doing. Like what? What sort of describe it? What sort of work did you do? You told me some of the chores that you were responsible for. Is there anything else? But did you have household chores?
Oh, I'm sure we helped in the house. I can remember with the dishes and with all the... And we helped with the garden and so on.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of fun.
Tell me what you did.
Well, one of the things we did was we swam in Cane Creek. Well,
uh-huh.
That was almost the, I remember that we did this up until the polio scare, and then they, recommended that you not be get in the water and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we would play on the creek, build little dams with the rocks across it, and this aunt, one of my aunts, Aunt Margaret, would take us down, and we learned the wildflowers. You know, this was one of the things that we learned about. All the names, and I can go down there right now and just, feel this, it takes me back, and I take my kids and I say, well, that's, that's an anemone, and those are dog tooth violets, and we look for the arbutus, and, that was just one of the fun things that we did.
And an aunt.
A lot of the family, but she's the one that I really kind of remember as being the one that taught me that. A lot of it, of course, I learned a lot from my mother because she liked plants and, everything about nature again. And it's in me, I love the trees. I really love the creek. The creek is just real important. The idea of it going underwater is a very hard thing. It's a very, it really hurts. But, it's change, and we have to recognize change and somehow adapt to it.
Your mother just really sounds like a fascinating person.
Oh, she really was. She was really amazing.
How would you describe her if you would tell me about some of the things she's done?
Well, she was a very happy person and very, quite much of a leader, I think. She was active in, I didn't mention the church work that Mom and Dad both belonged to a Presbyterian church, Bethlehem Presbyterian Church. And they, of course, were leaders, Sunday school teachers, did choir work. Dad was an elder. And, that was a part of their life. Eddie and I are members out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing some of the same things that they did. Both of us.
Yeah. What sort of
I felt it was important. I think women can do things as well as men, you know. And I felt like it was my Christian duty, actually. I've served as clerk of the session. Eddie served several years, and then I was asked to do that. And I guess there's not been a woman who's been clerk of the session. Prior to that, they thought men were the only ones who could take minutes. Well, this is kind of interesting in a way.
You're following your mother's footsteps.
And then I do the choir work. I want alto voices. I followed the tape till then. That they worked fairly closely together. I wasn't really aware of you know, real anything. It just kind of clicked along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we worked together.
Do you, for example, if your family decided to, that they're going to increase the number of cows or something like that, how do you think they would have come to that?
That probably was done with Daddy and the Baldwins, you know,
uh-huh.
And probably with you know, the wives and mother in on it. I kind of
uh-huh.
got the feeling that it was all kind of working together.
Uh-huh. And then if something concerning the house, like adding a plant or something like that, would it be your plan?
That's just usually mom and Daddy, you know, getting whatever needed. I think we were very fortunate to live in the country. Have the things that we did. That Daddy, Mother sent their five children to school,
mm-hmm.
and four of us graduated, which is four out of five in Dad.
Yeah.
And we did not see that happen in all of the areas. But this seemed to be something that we were grown up with. We grew up with the idea that we were expected to get a college degree.
Uh-huh.
You know, I did it because I thought that I should.
Well, where did you go to school?
My sister and I went to a small school in Virginia called Sullins. Then we went to UNC Greensboro for 1 year, and then we came to Carolina. At that time, Carolina, unless you actually lived in Chapel Hill, and we probably could have gone, they did not take girl students until the junior. We both got degrees in education.
You went to high school in
Chapel Hill.
12 grade?
Actually, we went to the small White Cross school for 8, and then we did the final 4 in Chapel Hill. And when we were growing up where we lived, it seemed like a long ways. Everybody really thought you were from the country, you know. Now it's different, you
uh-huh.
know.
Uh-huh.
It's totally a different outlook.
But do you think your parents expected you, as far as education is concerned, to do any differently from your brothers, or did they expect the same thing out of all of their children?
More or less the same thing, I think.
And
but we had, you know, the nice advantages. We both, my sister and I belonged to a sorority. And, you know, we were able to do. They were financially able to, you know, give us the things that, you know, we needed. I think I always felt funny when growing up being from the farm because that's just a little bit of a complex that you get. And I don't know what it is. Now I don't.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
I think that's part of maturing.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think my children do either. My children that don't feel funny living out in the country.
Well, were any of you children sort of restricted as far as what you did by things that you had to do on the farm?
Not really. Not when we reached high school. It was more or less do what you needed to do. We participated in all the, you know, activities. And at that stage, I doubt we did a lot, you know, at home.
Uh-huh. Who did the milking?
Well, it would be my dad and brothers and the hired uh-huh. men.
So if there was a football game or something, y'all were all there, then would the hired people do it by themselves?
More or less.
So the boys weren't